God does not change. God does not change because he is eternity. But he reveals himself to us in time. He reveals who he is so that we might change and be able to enter into eternity with him, so that we might change and become like him, become more fully in his image as his sons and as his daughters, to know him as a father. But God does not change. It's us who he's changing. Imagine that you're Moses, and you're leading thousands and thousands of Israelites. And these people rarely ever listen to you. They don't really trust you at all, and they're always complaining. Moses, by the prompting of God, had led them out from this land where they were servants and they were slaves. And he led them into a land of freedom. And they look back in wonder as God, with his might and his love for them, crushed their enemies. And they had just been brought out of slavery. And here they are at the foot of Mount Sinai, and we hear that they've dived headlong into depravity, worshiping a golden calf, all sorts of other depraved acts. And the Lord, he knows Moses, and he knows his people. He knows the people he's chosen, and he knows Moses, the one he's chosen to lead them. And he knows that Moses, so far, he's done what God has said, but he's done it as a reluctant babysitter of these people. Really, as a reluctant babysitter. They're always whining, they're always complaining, they don't trust him. But he's been asked by God to lead them, and so he did that. But God knows that these people who were slaves have to learn in this land of freedom. They have to learn how not to be slaves. And where God has to start is with the one he's asked to lead them, which is Moses. Moses has to be changed. God has to prompt a change within him to go from being this reluctant babysitter of these people that God has given him to be changed to one who is a father to these people and who will lead them and help them to come to know who the Lord God is. And so God tests Moses. He tests his heart just as he tests every one of our hearts as well. God does not change. His love at every instant is exactly the same coming down upon us. At every instant of every moment of our existence, God's love never changes. But that love tests our heart so that they might be changed. First of all, to come to know who he is. And coming to know who he is, you come to know who you are. You don't know yourself unless you know who God is. That he is a father and you are his daughter, you're his son. So God tests Moses' heart. He tells him of the depravity that they've dived into. And he basically says to Moses, I'm done with them. I'm done. Every one of them has fallen into this sin. And you're the only innocent one. And so I will make of you, Moses, a great nation. He's saying, I'm starting over. I'm starting the whole thing over. They're finished. And he brings something forth out of Moses' heart. Something changes within Moses, because now Moses, instead of God knowing that if Moses were to go down the mountain and see the depravity that the people are in, he sees it for himself first, Moses himself would lose heart. And with that spirit of slavery that Moses still has, the spirit of having to be God's just his servant, that he would lose heart and say, I'm done with these people. So instead, the Lord tells him he's finished with the people, so that Moses would step forward and intercede for them. And he intercedes for them, and the Lord does this to everyone to whom he entrusts any sort of leadership, and every Christian. Moses intercedes in the same way that Noah interceded for his people, his family. Noah pleads for his family that they might be saved, and they were on the ark. Abraham, who pleads for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Lord, if there's 30 innocent people here, will you spare them? Okay. If there's 20, will you spare them? If there's 10 innocent people here, will you spare this city? There weren't any. But Moses knows, Lord, none of them are faithful. Not a one of them is faithful. But you, Lord God, you are faithful. And he goes one step further. He says, you are faithful, and they are your people, and they are my people. Moses identifies himself with these fallen people. He says, I am one with them. They are my brothers, and they are my sisters. He does in part what Jesus does in full. He identifies himself and enters in to these sinful people so that he's able to intercede for them and save them. God is testing Moses' heart. And Moses, from his heart, has brought forth this desire to be a father who has fierce love for his people, who is one with them, who he knows that they belong to him. And the Lord God says, ah, now you get it. Now you get it, Moses. You understand something of who I am, that I am a God who is a father, and you now will be a shepherd to them, because Moses has tapped into the heart of God so that Moses can become like God, a good father, a good shepherd to these people, to his people. Remembering Moses had killed one of his own people. He had fled out into the desert to be a shepherd and to hide. And God had called him back to be a shepherd to these people. And now he's drawn that forth from his heart. He is no longer a servant and a slave, but he is a shepherd because he knows God the Father, and he knows that what he is called to be is a father as well. Psalm 51. This is a psalm of David, his psalm of repentance. David, who was the young shepherd boy, right? And he was anointed the great king of Israel. And he had fallen into massive sin. He'd become an evil shepherd. He had slept with the wife of another man. And then he had that man killed. And the Lord drew him to repentance in the Lord's fierce and divine mercy in his life. And this is Moses repenting, turning back to God, that he can now be a good shepherd, the shepherd that God has called him to be for his people. Paul's writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy is a brand new bishop. He has just become a bishop. And Paul is writing to him saying, remember what sort of shepherd you are called to be. He says, I was called to be a shepherd as well, but I remember that I was the worst of sinners. I tried to crush this young flock. And God had to blind me because God loved me. He blinded me so that I could come to know him and know his grace. And so I could lead well out of real love for the people, out of as a father. And Timothy, you must do the same as a bishop. Remember that. And then in the gospel, Jesus is addressing this parable to the Pharisees. The Pharisees who don't listen to Jesus, they don't trust him. The Pharisees called themselves the self-appointed shepherds of Israel. They sat in the seat of Moses. But what Jesus is saying to them in this parable because they're complaining now. Jesus, why do you welcome? Why do you eat with sinners? And he addresses this parable to them basically to say to them emphatically, you Pharisees, you are the anti-Moses. It's like calling someone the Antichrist. You are the anti-Moses. Where Moses saw the sins of the people and was one with them and interceded on their behalf, you Pharisees, you see the sins of the people and you cut them off. And you want them dead. And so he speaks to them. He speaks to them so that they might change. And he speaks to them as well so that his own apostles who are with him might be good shepherds themselves. He says to them, you're like the elder son. You still live with this spirit of slavery within you. This spirit that all what being and belonging to God means is just simply serving him, not belonging in a deeper way. They want to change the father. The prodigal son and the older son. The prodigal son, when he was lost, he would have preferred that the father change, that God change. That the father affirm him in his depravity. That the father would celebrate him as he's wallowing in the pig slop. But the father's love does not change, and it's too great for that. God's love instead is one which moves him, where when he returns, he is embraced and celebrated, and what the Lord affirms within him is who he is as his son. Remember, the prodigal son said, I'll go back and be a servant, I'll be a slave. But the father affirms that, no, who you are is my son. And he celebrates his return from death into life. The elder son would have preferred that God change, that the father change, that he would come to his senses and stop being, as the elder son would see it, naive and careless with his grace and with his mercy. But instead, the father reveals to him who he is and invites the elder son to change. Will you come back into my house? Will you learn who I am so that you can enter into this joy and come and rejoice with us? Everyone, God's love does not change, and he does not change ever. But his love to you, even when, and especially when your heart is being tested, is because he's drawing something out from within you in his fierce love for you. Because he's a father who fights for you. And Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is one who intercedes for you. And so when the Lord tests your heart, know that what he's drawing out from it is this truth that he doesn't change, but he reveals to us who he is. He's a good father. He's a good shepherd, so that we might repent and turn to him and change to become like him, to become good shepherds and merciful like the Father.